forget after all these years. So it says the major challenge we picked up this year is that APPs do not reflect the totality of the performance indicators for each department as stipulated in the MTSF outcomes. I think this is true, eh? When I served in the executive, the issues to come up in cabinet, Chakotlas, and so on. This means that measuring actual performance is impaired since all that can be measured are the indicators that are mentioned, good, and not those that the department decides not to include in the APP. I think it's absolutely correct. So what the comrade is suggesting is that we put in the totality, addition to the totality of the performance indicators and the outcome of the medium-term strategic framework should be reflected and reported on in the APP. I think that's fair and so on, because government comes with its medium-term strategic framework, which is in effect a five-year term program for implementation of the NDP, and then the APPs do not necessarily speak to that. Now, to remind members, we raised this in our early reports from July 2014 on. They kept saying, what's the relationship between your APP and the MTSF? And then we asked them to come and speak, and remember they came to quarterly reports and they gave us a spill and so on. But I think this colleague of ours in the study group is correct to raise it. So I would like to recommend we include the totality of the performance indicators and the outcome of the F should be reflected and reported on in the APPs. It should be inserted at the first paragraph there, because that's where we're looking at overall performance. Is that okay? Good. Then the next one is on, this sort of got you around 8 o'clock last night, right? Right, 8.1 and 8.2 is covered. 8.3, any questions there? Sorry, man, those brackets is actually, this actually appears obviously in another format, meaning I get a draft and then I work on it and so on, and some of the stuff is the wording of Sakele. So what I do is I put it in brackets and ask questions, but I forgot to remove the brackets because he gave me the answer to that. Because I wanted to know what he meant by miscalculation of BE points and so on. So actually, can we remove the brackets then, 8.3? Obviously, between Frank and me, we do a final edit, right? Okay, 8.4, any questions? That's straightforward, right? We took that from the Auditor General's report. We included everything the Auditor General said about national. We agreed with the Auditor General. We don't have to, by the way, but we did. 8.5. Same thing, comes from the Auditor General's report. Here the brackets are figures given to me by Sakele. It was actually at the moment in the Constitutional and Justice Committee, helping them with the BA3R. 8.6 is straightforward. We will call the GPA. I've already spoken to the FFC chairperson to say it's outrageous that they don't come with an unqualified audit. I mean, they should be a beacon. And he gave me a long story on a plane, and I think it's not for him to speak to me. He must come to Parliament. I didn't comment on what he said. He will be here with his team early in the new year. Please note that, Alan, we have to invite them. 8.8. No, 8.7. Yeah, this favorite topic of the DA. But we're more concerned. We welcome the bank. We're concerned about the use of money. And the office is not being used. But this is really bad. And we want them to answer for that. 8.8. is exactly what we agreed to. Mr. Lees was here, and we issued a statement in that regard. It's taken literally from the statement, 8.9. 8.10, yeah.
Are you wanting us to comment as we go? 8.9, there's nothing in the content, but can we add an additional thing that we request National Treasury to respond in writing before the MTBPS to this legal opinion, because if you look at the second sentence, the committee has requested, it's actually we've received it now.
Sorry. Wait.
Same legal opinion, we'll have to go to appropriation. So can we come back to this? We're not going to agree on the report until we finish the other one. That's the next item. All right. I don't disagree with you. I mean, in fact, you're right, but it's just that we have to mention clearly here we're not will engage. Having read his legal opinion last night, and having spoken to him fleetingly over the phone, and just now before we started, but let Frank speak for himself. 8:10.
Sorry, just clarity. We're going to come back to
the
issue.
Come back to you.
Are we coming back to the wording here as well? I mean,
if it's deleted, otherwise it's separate, then change the wording.
Okay, now I'm just about 6 line down. They've just been done through an appropriation bill. Should that not be a special appropriation bill?
Yeah. Is that right, Frank?
To check with Zakelia, and I forgot to ask him. And I'm not apologizing, by the way. For what it's worth, I want to know how many committee chairpersons were up to. What time did I send Zakelia the draft with Antonia of the resolution? At about 12:05 in the morning. And then I worked on reading the grid again and all the stuff for today. And so I went to bed at 3:15. So really, I can't do more. In fact, from now on, I'm putting my foot down. This thing of members coming here, Zakelia, everybody, I'm not saying you great, and saying, let's do this, let's pass a resolution. They think it falls, they think, you know, this is Watson. I heard about Watson last week. I must tell you about this. I'll do a report. Watson is IBM's artificial intelligence. Oncologists now have gone to IBM and said, look, there are 27,000 articles written over the last 30 years on cancer. And we cannot summarize it. We've got a team of researchers. Watson did it in 3 days. Now an oncologist can speak to Watson and say, I have a patient who is showing these symptoms. So Watson will reply and say, if there's tremors around the man's lips, or if his eyes are twitching, or if he's facial, or can you send me a video of him? And it will tell you what are the 3 options as an oncologist. It can also anticipate Alzheimer's. It listens to you, and it's able to tell, colleagues, this is the world, the fourth, not the fourth, it's the fifth industrial revolution, while we're still fighting about whether a set of boxes should have encryption or not, the world is moving on. Right? They're moving on. I can tell you now that FinTech input was fantastic. I'll report on my attendance. Chairs are not required, by the way, I'm amazed to hear. I'm one of the few chairs that does it. In fact, I'm the only chair. If I go on an individual trip, I report back. I will write a report, but I just want you to know we are fast, you know, the digital divide is becoming even more exaggerated. Just to give you one account, I think it's important what I'm talking about because it comes in the next discussion. There's a thing called Paytm in India, 150 million clients. They pay barely any amount for services. And they transfer millions and millions of rupees a day. The Christian literature from Kanyapa was there, it was on the panel, and he was very rigid about it. Can you regulate this? Is it a financial service? These are the issues we should be discussing soon. But I'll write a report on that and take you through it within the next 2 weeks or so. But here we are. Special appropriations bill is fine. 8.10.
The 16.4 billion is I'm not sure that it's 100% correct. It's pretty close. I'm not sure that it shouldn't be 19.1 minus 2.2 minus 3 brings it down to, I think, 16.2. I don't know how important that is.
The figures all come from Zakelia, and I keep asking him for confirmation. He does. I want to tell you something else about Zakelia. This is the first time when I sent him something at 12:05 in the morning. He didn't reply by 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
First time.
Sure.
But he set his standards. I mean, I must tell you, the guy is unbelievable. It puts enormous pressure on me. Because he's so meticulous, like I asked him to do some notes. One page on a resolution. He took 5 hours and he did thousands of things which I couldn't use because it's fantastic work, but it's not going to help the resolution. It's got to be short and pointed. The guy is fantastic, but he did come back by 8:30. When did I send it to you? With these comments on that resolution, all of which I agreed with. Okay, so let's go on to say, this figure comes from him. Interesting, this one I didn't raise, but the other ones all I asked him. So I think we'll sort that out, right? We don't have to vote on the report until 5 o'clock anyway, or when we part this afternoon. Okay, 8.10. Yeah, this is taken from the FST report, basically. 8.11, we're repeating what the government talks about, the private sector having to procure for black businesses. Well, government must set the tone and the pace. 8.12, there's nothing new there. 8.13, yeah, this point that auditors don't detect wrongdoing. And then we're taking a decision that all those involved in professional misconduct, including KPMG, if found guilty, must not be used by the public sector. It's the same thing Minister Kikaba said. 8.14, the minister's reply, literally word for word on the ministerial handbook and what he has done. That, those words I've taken from his actual reply. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Chair, I mean, I don't dispute these words, as you say, are from his reply. But the question here is the quality of his reply, which on the face of it, I think, and on my sort of reading a couple of weeks ago of the ministerial handbook, may be incorrect. First, the minister says that the ministerial handbook provides a guideline for a minimum of 16 ministerial staff. And then the minister goes on to say, well, he has a 17 staff, etc. What I think the guidelines actually prescribe is a maximum number of staff. And if that's true, then it would appear that on the margin the minister is in the breach. Second point about the ministerial handbook is it says that the organizational structure of the office must be approved by the Minister of Public Service and Administration. That being said, I wonder, given the fact that we've now received the minister's reply, whether we should not ask either, and I'm sorry to say this, Frank Jenkins, or our content advisor to carefully scrutinize the minister's reply and to give us an opinion about whether it is in fact consistent with the ministerial handbook.
Thanks, Chair. I was this close to see the ministerial handbook. I never saw it.
No.
I don't know. Is it published? No. Is it? Okay. All right. Chair, no, I was going to suggest that 18.14, maybe we don't deal with it in isolation with the rest of the issues that normally comes out on what ministers are entitled for. I would also not know what is the agency of this being part of the report. But I strongly feel that maybe at some point as a committee, we should sit down and satisfy ourselves with what the ministerial handbook actually says. Because, you know, if we deal with it in isolation with other issues that are normally being raised with regard to ministerial benefits, then it would mean tomorrow we'll be dealing with the transport allocation and all that. So it's just a suggestion that maybe we need to spare an hour and then try get through the ministerial handbook so that when we deal with such issues, we know. I mean, even now we're not sure whether it is 17, it is 34 and all that. And also we need to understand what the objective, because is it only our minister who's having a challenge of overstaffed? No, I don't think so. I think it's a problem that has been recurring for many, many, many years. And how that is going to be resolved, it's another issue. And what are we trying to achieve out of this? Thanks, Chair.
Well, this came up, the DA raised it and the EFF raised it because it's in the public domain, remember? There was an article in the City Press, two articles in the City Press. I saw one in Carol Patton's column in Business Day. So the DA and EFF raised it. Particularly, you want to say something? It came up. We can leave it, but okay, finish, Dikileri.
Chair, I'm just checking whether is there a new ministerial handbook, because I think the ministerial book is available. One had an opportunity to see it in the previous life. And
I think there's a new one.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Because if there's a new one, it must also be available to anyone to access it.
I think it's
so what I want to suggest is that why can't we marry the two ideas, that of Honorable Mavi and Honorable David Manye, that we go and verify, because I get the argument from David that is it a maximum or a minimum? And if it's a maximum, it should be that and not beyond. If it's a minimum, then what is the maximum? But also, if it's a maximum, then there's a need for you to have more. The minister can only make an application to DPSA, and the work study will have to evaluate and recommend. That's how it's done. But like Peace is saying, is it possible that we can verify that information now and what we want to achieve? And we should be able to say that whatever we're going to find out here, it must be something that is going to be of corrective or benefit to the government as a whole. Because it does cost the department, whatever department that has overstaff, or we have a staff in excess, so it's going to have a problem. If Treasury is doing it, then who's going to oversee that there's no overspending? Thank you.
If it's the wish of the majority that we have a whole hour discussion on this, I can't see the need for it, given our million things we have to do, then obviously as a chair I have to facilitate it, but I can assure you I will not read it. I went to bed at 3:10 this morning, and I can't continue like this. So I won't read it. Maybe one of the members can read it, and Frank can do the work. There is a way out, which is to make the observations that both Peace and Nicoletti have and Mr. Mayne, which is to, well, the options are we can drop this paragraph altogether. I don't really feel, personally, you know, when I got the figures. See, I think, to be quite frank, it's correct for members to be scrutinizing the executive and critical and even suspicious. But there's no need for the minister to blatantly lie. You know, what would be the point? What would be the point of the minister lying? Right? He got a draft from somebody. And he probably, Samuel is here. I don't think Samuel can speak for him. But, I mean, why would he lie? Because obviously we've got staff here who are going to read it. So I don't think he lied. Secondly, by my own measure, this Derek here, as I understand it, several ministries applied for exemptions under circumstances. And usually the public service minister, Peace might confirm, agrees to it. Now, given the load that Treasury's got, I mean, it's the worst department to be in. If you look at this committee's load, I think SCOPA and us are the worst committees to serve in. And certainly by any measure, I've chaired 5 committees. This is by far the worst committee as far as work goes. So I think one's quibbling, really. Really, okay, so the minister's handbook provides a guideline for a minimum of 16 a ministerial sub. That sounds credible to me when I was there, but it's fine. Okay, so we'll just say something like, we can follow by saying, the committee, in view of the concerns of some of the members of the committee will consider this matter further. Full stop. How we do that and so on, do we want to prescribe a full-blown discussion on the municipal... I mean, ministry, I think we're getting very petty now, quite frankly. And, you know, I don't know whether Derek wants to say anything, but let me give you an example, since you want to maybe deal with the real world. He's got more experience than I have. When I went into a Ministry of Communication, I could not dispose of the staff. It was a year before the elections. I couldn't put them out on the street. The fact that their principal was removed doesn't mean they must be put out on the street. There's a one-month thing. Is that right, Derek? Staff of 1 month and then they have to go. So I then approached the Minister of Public Service and Administration and asked for a latitude. So we had, I think, 2 extra members. And quite frankly, I don't remember what it was. I think it was 16, then we had 18 in communication. And quite frankly, those 2 people were fruitfully used. And they were very helpful. We moved some people into the department. So, I mean, do you really want to have... There's so many millions of issues here. What's the point? Can't I plead that we just put a line in there along those lines instead of having a whole discussion on the issue? So can we say something like this? The committee notes members' concerns around whether approval was secured from the Minister of Public Service and Administration, the cost that this might entail. I think that's a hell of a pity, but if it's 70, how many members?
and other matters, and we'll consider this further. Something like that. Or just delete it, really. First Mr. Mania, and then Derek.
Chair, I'm really, frankly, agnostic about whether to retain or to delete the paragraph. But what I do think is there's an onus on the committee to do its due diligence and to determine whether the minister, whether the minister's claim that his office is well within the guidelines of the ministerial handbook is actually true. Given the fact that the objective of the ministerial handbook ultimately, is to sort of control expenditure in the executive, it strikes me as implausible or unlikely that the ministerial handbook would prescribe minimum numbers of staff. It's much more likely that they prescribe maximum numbers of staff. And frankly, if that's the case, then, it seems to me, given the fact that the minister's office comprises of 21 staff, 17 and 3 seconded from the department, I don't know if those are counted together, it seems to me then that it's at least possible that the minister has deliberately tried to mislead the committee. I could be wrong. Let's just do our due diligence. It's either consistent or not consistent. We need to find out.
Sorry, I've just been in Mitchell's Lane addressing a school or a group of schools. So I haven't really heard the arguments. I've just read the paragraph, and clearly there's something wrong here in this paragraph. But I wanted to respond to a couple of things that you said, having been there like you were there. You know, you can be in a very, very busy ministry. You still have these offices, and you have one receptionist. You don't have three receptionists because you're in a busy office. You have one parliamentary liaison officer. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You have one person doing that. You have one person that is your PA. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You don't have three PAs because you're busy. And so the argument doesn't hold that a busy ministry needs more ministerial staff. And there's a whole department at his or her disposal. And a competent one, nochal, as well. So, I can go through all of the people, but honestly, at most, you might, because of your workload, you might have two media people because you're just facing a barrage of speeches that have to be written or a barrage of media requests coming your way, and so you might need more than one. But honestly, to have inflated ministries like Faith Mutombo, it's just this... That's a different ball game, but it says here the ministerial handbook provides a guideline for a minimum of 16 ministerial support staff. It's not true. It's not what the guideline says. I'm not saying he's lying, but we've got to. If the minister responds to us, he must respond accurately and he must respond honestly. And if he doesn't, we should say, "But you're wrong." You know what? Why should we say? And then, secondly, or thirdly, whatever, Eunice, even if there are very big issues that we have to attend to, the little things matter, because you get away with a little thing, and next thing it's a bigger thing, and somebody might ask the question. I happen to know.
Withdraw. We will do what you are suggesting, right?
Yeah.
I just think this idea of a one-hour discussion, studying the handbook, and so on, is what predicated my views partly. And I don't think he's deliberately lying. It would be very foolhardy of him. I think he just signed the thing without looking at it. I really think it's just a sense. I don't have information. I think it's foolhardy to just lie. You're going to get caught out. So, I for me, given what the media's been saying, this is nowhere near what the media is saying. So unless somebody has evidence to contrary, we just have to take it that it's inaccurate, but there's no evidence that it's deliberately misleading the committee. Maybe it's stupid to do it. I just find it hard to believe. But, Mr. Mandewane, if you want to say anything before we... Oh, please wanted to say something and then yourself.
No, Chair. I just took the word from my apology, Chair. I just wanted to check with Derek. What is the guideline? What is the guideline saying in terms of the number? Is 16 high or low?
Because
or maxima, I don't know.
Okay, firstly it is a guideline, not absolute.
Yes.
But you expect it to, yeah, but there's an expectation that you stick within the guideline. I'd have to check, but I'm pretty sure it's 12 for a, there's no ministry, there's no minimum, which is completely wrong here. I think it's 12 for a minister's office, and something like 10 and 6. Is that 10 and 6? You've checked. I think, you know, we can double check, but I'm, you know, that sounds accurate. And, you know, can I just respond to one other thing? I mean, I can't understand why a minister who has the handbook right there would, you know, reply inaccurately. Because it shows a kind of disdain. And we shouldn't let any minister, get away with that.
It's inaccurate. I have no choice as a chair. It's inaccurate. There's nothing I can do about it.
It is inaccurate. Okay. Let's accept that. And then,
you sure about that? I was asking Frank to look it up.
Well, why don't we get a copy, then we can all see a copy of that particular page.
So you want to spend a whole lot of time reading
it? No,
I just asked Frank to do it. Frank, can you look at the thing at lunchtime? And then just write us our paragraph, really, because, you know, I think we mustn't spend a lot of time, really. We've got a lot of work.
We do happen to know people in Treasury.
Trade and industry.
In Treasury, the Treasury.
Yeah.
And so we have some information, and I don't want to reveal it here, but we have some information about, you know, bringing in advisors. You're allowed two special advisors. That's all you're allowed. Yes, you'd have to get cabinet permission to have more than two special advisors. And deputy ministers, there's no provision for a special advisor, but the DPSA could give permission for a deputy minister to have a special advisor. There's no provision for that. So that would be sort of an exceptional circumstances. But the information that we get, Eunice, and we shouldn't fool ourselves, is that there's a kind of an island over there of advisors and people who are really isolating the department. Okay. And the information that we get, which may be accurate and may not, is that it's considerably more than we've got in front of us.
Chair, lastly.
Separate the issues, comrades, please.
Yeah.
This thing about a parallel structure in the ministry and department, this happens every now and then, right? When I was serving as a deputy minister in my portfolio, there was a similar argument that the minister had accumulated advisors. He wasn't even consulting the DG, etc. And I think we've had it before with other ministers. But that should not detract from whether this is accurate or not. If it's not accurate, there's nothing to talk about. It's inaccurate, and we should say it. Now, we want Frank to just check what the rule book says. Frank, can you check between one and two? And can you summarize it in a few words, right? And then look at the paragraph and tell us what you think of it, right? Then on the issue of the parallel structure, we can write a separate paragraph if you want. But then we've got to prove these things. I don't know what we're going to say, what our sense is and what our understanding of politics is and what our information is. It's got to be before the committee. So we should be careful about how we couch any paragraph. That's this paragraph 8.15 if you want. But let's deal with what's the empirical situation piece.
No, Chair, I was saying this is an ongoing issue. And I'm sure we don't want to get it right only in the Minister of Finance office, but we want the entire executive to comply. So I don't see the agency of this. Like I've said earlier on, if we deal with the issue of staff separately, then tomorrow something else is going to come. Because already we've raised Mutambi. We know that there are also transport issues and all that. So I still want to pursue members. But let's drop this off.
Discussion on this
it's
matter.
An item on its own. You know, I don't see
all
why.
Right. So are we going to have a separate discussion on this matter and when? And do we delete this paragraph or do you want us to make the amendments that I proposed?
That's my proposal.
Yeah. So, okay, fine. Then can we come to a conclusion? It's now been 20 minutes on this thing alone. Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that a piece raises a very important question. But I'm just wondering whether our role as this committee is to have oversight of ministries which aren't ours. And kind of your argument about a super committee in that sense. We may or may not. I'm just asking the question. I have no doubt that we have an oversight role of the Minister of Finance's office. That, I think, is clear. But whether we should be exercising the same role over the other ministries is, I'm simply asking the question.
What's a good question,
sir? Sorry?
Question.
Yeah, the thing is, I would have thought we refer this matter to the Chair of Public Service and Administration, because they deal with ministers in general, but we should deal with the Minister of Finance.
Okay.
So are we agreeing on the following? If I understand the meeting...
If that's the case...
Fine. Okay. If I understand the meeting, now you must correct me if I'm misunderstanding. One, Frankie is going to look at the factual information, give us a quick overview. Two is that we ask him to look at the accuracy of this thing and write a reply. Frank, can you prepare a reply to this and say, this, our understanding is not accurate, and we would like the minister to reply again, right? And then, depending on what you craft, Frank, we can also say that if it's not so straightforward, that we want a fuller discussion on what transport and all other the issues and so on, and the committee will find some time to discuss that. I don't know when, but presumably...
We can also sponsor a question to the leader of government.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's late already.
Well, we can check into that. Okay. Thank you very much. Then on the Reserve Bank, there's a lot of this is consistent with what we put in the FSD draft. 8:15, we agreed we'll meet them at least once a year. 8:16, this is literally the wording from the FSD report. I just cut and paste that, right? So is 8:17. So is 8:18, literally the words from the FSD report. Yeah.
Just on 8:16, just a small matter. The committee notes that SAR is at SAR. it would be the third sentence. That's fine.
No, that was about 8 o'clock yesterday. 8:17. 8:18.
Stay here.
Yeah, the thing is that we refer this to Bjorkman. You know, I need to follow up. Can you put that note there to speak to the chair of police and find out? He said in November he will call the Hawks back. Okay, and then we've agreed on the two new amendments, right? So I will do the changes in tracking and bring it back this afternoon. Yeah, Mr. Lees.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't have any... SARS has been quite a number of issues, and whether we shouldn't be putting in something about them as well. For instance, the annual report, which we haven't yet seen. Yeah, but there's nothing under observation and recommendation. Did we? Have I missed it? Sorry. You did it, so you'll know better than me, Mr. Chairman. One point.
Gillis sent me some notes. He had something there. But you know, in the rush, we do these things. No, look, what do you want
Chairman,
to say?
It's not critical.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. Somewhere else we said, you see, there was something definitely there. Can I go through this thing carefully over lunch? And we will put something in along the lines, Mr. Lees. I think we should put something in.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, it just...
okay, what do we put in?
Our concern that the annual report has not been produced and should be reproduced between by some sort of deadline, I think.
Yeah, we set a date, 28th of November or something.
Okay.
All right, fine, I will put a paragraph in. If you want to send it to me by 1 o'clock or SMS it to me, it's fine. So on SARS, must deliver the report. Oh, I know what happened. Zakhele did a draft about, I think, the way he drafted was not about SARS alone, about entities in general, and that they mustn't go to court. Is that right, Antonio? You would have seen earlier. He sent me some notes on, so I removed it because it was a headache, and I was running out of time and I had other things to do. So I removed it, but I think what he was referring to, yes, I did remove something I think he had there, because he lumped SARS. He meant SARS, but I think he included a whole lot of entities, and I thought this is really unnecessary. It falls outside. It's like becoming a super committee again. So actually, I think I removed it. So yes, it's a good point, and I'm glad you picked it up, because we have to say something. And SARS is like, you know, Treasury and Saab and all of them. They have to be above board. There's a fight between them and the auditor's office about the meaning of some of their transactions, right? And I did speak to the commissioner over the phone, and I made it clear to him what I'm saying to him. I did speak to him. And I told him, look, it's not acceptable. And he said, it's a technical matter. And I said, no, you must answer to the committee and so on. So I think it's correct, Mr. Lees. I'm glad you raised it. Right, that being said, we will try to... Oh, yes, what else? No, it's your job.
Mr. Chairman, just on SARS, shall I just quickly give you a few issues that I think we need to address? And then we can... The Tax Ombuds report on the delays in tax refunds...
I've got a date for that.
Okay.
In
should
the program.
It not be in the...
We didn't discuss it, but we can put it in now. It's fine.
Okay, well, there's that. And then the outstanding investigations into senior, like Makwakwa, I know we've dealt with it. Should it also not be part of the RRR report? It's simply perhaps a cut and paste or copy and paste, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a question of tax morality that was raised and whether SARS is impacting on tax morality.
Can I raise a procedural question?
Sorry.
It's an interesting thing, you know, you are raising. Firstly, I don't have any quibble personally, and I think most of us wouldn't, because we've adopted reports to the effect. So you're saying nothing except on tax morality. We haven't written in our reports, including our recent report. But because we haven't considered SARS strictly, Frankie must guide us, right? We haven't considered SARS. All of these issues could be put in a letter to Mr. Commissioner Moyane to say, when you come, we want answers to the following issues, all the issues you mentioned. We have got the tax ombudsperson in our program because the day opened up and because we couldn't finish the... because you can't get the other committees to meet, and it's understandable. We couldn't get joint meetings on the Money Bills Act after repeated attempts, right? We then said between Alan and me, hey, you know what, let's put in the tax ombudsperson. Then we processed the tax bills faster than we planned to, then we brought in your proposal, let's bring DBSA. So the tax ombudsperson is there in the November, right? We might have to drop somebody now because we have another meeting on the PIC and GEPF. I was thinking we dropped the DBSA, but we can look into that. But what I'm saying, Frank, I don't know, can you guide us? And there's nothing that Mr. Lees is saying that this committee hasn't, except for tax morality we have, but I don't think we've written much about it. Everything he's saying is correct, but we haven't had SARS before us. And shouldn't these issues be in the report we write after SARS appears before us? Nothing stops Mr. Lees from giving me a draft letter, because then it makes my job easier. I hope he's listening. A draft letter that I will send to Tom, to Commissioner Moyane, and say, flowing from a discussion at the meeting today, you can even draft it. It won't kill you. Right? I mean, Zakele and Antonia are overburdened. So I write him a letter to say, at this meeting, we want to repeat, one, the points you made, that we must have your matter resolved with the AG's office. Doesn't look good, you know, and that we expect that by the whatever date it is, 28, is it? Well, whatever date, I can fill that in. 22nd, you must have done this, and you must appear before the committee. Secondly, we raise the following issues, that we're meeting the tax ombudsperson on the 22nd or something. What is it? Why don't we do something like link the two, you know, make it on the same day and seek an exemption from the House? But that means we must forego one day, because it means it gives me time and Zakele to do our work. A lot of work gets done outside this committee. That is why I'm not personally keen on Fridays, because then it means I must work on Saturdays. And I've got political responsibilities outside Parliament on a Saturday. And I have a family life. So what I'm saying in short is, Mr. Lees, just draft a letter along those lines. In this thing, we will... say something along the line that you said in the earlier point, to be concerned. So I'll do that. So I can bring this back with, but it's very good you mentioned FAS. Sakila, I apologize to you now that you, you did have that paragraph. I dropped it and Mr. Lee's picked it up, but you linked it to other things that I didn't fully think fell within our portfolio. And I've been praising you once again, and Antonia, for the excellent work you do. So are we agreeing
with
you?
Kevin, I must interrupt you because, you know, you pointed out how slack he was at 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, I was teasing you. Yeah, that's right. I sent you something at 5 past 12. I was shocked you hadn't replied to me by 1:15 in the morning. And you only replied by 7:30 this morning. I said, you're really going down by standards. I'm sleeping on the job. That's right. You see, once you wipe yourself by your own petard, right, you know that expression, obviously, then the standards are, you know, you and Antonia now, you set such high standards, right, that if you just lap slightly, I get worried about, hey, the performance bonus, by the way, I would strongly recommend the two of them for a performance bonus, as I tell them, and one of the secretaries here, for the outstanding work they do. Right, having said that, I will make the amendments between 1 and 2. Frank will help in regard to the one outstanding issue, and we will try to vote by this afternoon instead of reconvening tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So can comrades and colleagues, and I'm addressing myself mainly to comrades, ensure that we're here to have a quorum. In any case, we're stuck here till the... So at the end of the meeting with the Trade and Industry Committee, then we'll do that. Okay, so item 1 is out of the way. We're running out of time. Item 2 is the advice on Section 16 of the PFMA to capitalize SAA. Now, already the DA issued a press release and so on. Now, I want to raise this thing at another meeting. You see, we haven't discussed the legal opinion. And then a journalist rings me yesterday and says, so what have I decided? I said, we're only meeting today. Then I'm told the DA has issued a press release. I think we'll have to discuss this thing with the DA, and I've discussed it with Frank this morning. The chairperson does have a latitude. You see, this jumping the gun, initiating press releases by any party before a committee has discussed an issue means that what we will do is we will not release these things until, and I'll check whether the rules allow me to do that outside this meeting, I'll only release it the morning. So we discuss the matter, then we issue a statement if we do on behalf of the committee. Nothing stops any party from issuing its own statements. So the matter has not been discussed, contrary to what is being put in the public domain. Now, Mr. Jenkins, can you take us? But that's a matter I will discuss with the DA separately. And I will also consult with Frank, and then we'll have a meeting with Frank to find out what the rules say about these things and what latitude a chair has got to release things. If you release it 3-4 days beforehand, it ends up with the media. The idea is to give people an opportunity to prepare, and let's collectively discuss the issue, and then each party is free to take its own position. You can issue the statement even while we're discussing it. That's fine. But not before a discussion. Because I want to say something else finally. As I know it, Frank, you people came, lawyers, with 22 opinions on the Municipal Structures Bill. The committee decided it does not agree with the state law advisor, nor does it agree with Parliament's lawyers. We got independent legal opinion on some of them. The Constitutional Court rejected only one in the Municipal Structures Bill that the committee said against all the lawyers is correct. So am I right to say a committee can say we've heard you, but we do not agree, and or we want to test the courts. Let the courts decide on this matter. Am I right we can do that?
Yes, Chair, in fact, that's what protects us. I mean, I don't take decisions as a lawyer.
Right.
Neither does any of my colleagues. The committee that takes the decision, the committee needs to account for that decision to the House.
So the committee has not decided as a committee whether it agrees with your legal opinion or not. It'll decide now. So now I'll have to issue a statement on behalf of the committee, which I wouldn't have done. It means more work for me. Fine, to say the committee has decided. Whatever any party says, that's their right. But the committee, as a majority, has decided whatever. Having said that, can you take us through this thing?
Yes.
The DA, you don't need to brief because they fully briefed on it. They drafted a press release yesterday. I only read this last night, by the way. And can you confirm I have never, ever, where's the EFF, never, ever interfered with you on your legal opinions? Never ever asked you what you think about the NDR and the balance of forces.
You've actually always said that my legal opinion is my legal opinion. And
yeah, it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I may disagree with you. So, fine,
yeah,
let's move on. All that's being minuted because I want to pursue these matters further in another forum on some other issues. Having said that, let's move on, please, Frank.
Thanks, Chair. The opinion on page 1 and 2 just sets out the background. I'm just trying to...
I think we all know that, right? Members, do you really want the background?
No.
They're not saying anything, so I take it they're fine. Let's move on. Or they don't know whether they want the background or not, in which case, can I rule it only for it?
Yeah.
For Section 16.
No. Right. The Section 16 sets then various issues which the Minister needs to comply with. In my view, all of those have been complied with. These are issues of it's in the public interest that we can't wait for a future appropriation, that there must be a report to Parliament within a certain time frame, etc., etc. So those have all been complied with. So what the opinion does, it is then isolates the one issue, whether this is exceptional. As I say, in paragraph 18, the fact that we cannot postpone this appropriation, I think the report at paragraph 4.7 makes a strong case. And therefore the remaining question is just whether this expenditure was exceptional. And I apply the method I have done through the years and which the courts have also accepted is to look at the legal interpretation of those words. Unless they define, we use the ordinary words or the ordinary meaning, and exceptional there means unusual or not typical, atypical. When I think of that, it is, in other words, something that we didn't expect. I then try to see what it also means within the context of the Public Finance Management Act. And I mean, you earlier spoke to alignment between the medium strategic framework and annual performance plans, of course, the strategic plan. These are all part of planning. So what we do as government, we plan, then we budget. The budget cannot serve all the plans, so we have to prioritize. But nevertheless, what the Public Finance Management Act requires is that there is this alignment, that we plan, we budget, we execute that budget or implement that budget, and then there's an audit and an annual report and an audit report at the end of the financial year where we see how did we do, so that we have predictability. And within that meaning or within that context, one looks at Section 16, and then Section 16 is that allowance for something that has happened that we couldn't plan for, that was atypical, expenditure that we didn't expect. Maybe something happened, and we, in the case of South African Airways, we had to buy new Boeings or new Airbuses, or something happened, or the price went up, or the rand fell, and then suddenly you had to get money from somewhere. But in this instance, when we look at the budget speech in 2017, earlier this year, these things were expected. It was expected that there's going to be a shortfall. It was expected that there's going to be a cash injection, and that something will have to be done. So in my view, the correct way to do that would not be to use Section 16, but to use a special appropriation bill and to send it through Parliament and to do it like that rather than the Section 16 method, which is transparency after the fact and not before the fact. So my reading of the reports of Section 16 read with the objects of the Public Finance Management Act, Chairperson, is that this was not exceptional, in other words. But it's not really for this committee to make a decision. First of all, it's referred to the Appropriations Committee. And secondly, Section 16 itself requires the report of the Minister to be sent to the Auditor General. And the Auditor General, in terms of the Public Audit Act, is specifically empowered to make audit findings. So one must be careful as Parliament not to prejudge those findings and to step on the feet of the Auditor General. And that's, of course, from Chapter 3 of the Constitution, where we have cooperative government. So while the committee can express a view, and while the committee asked me to express a view, I want to emphasize that it is certainly not a finding. There might be other issues that one must take into consideration, but just from what I've seen, from the report that's come to me, I would say that the Minister should have, instead of using Section 16, used the special appropriation to do what he wanted to do. And that's my view. So that's it, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, I just want to draw attention, it's 10:30, just to alert you, Trade and Industry explained their difficulties, right? For one, half the component of the ANC serves two committees, and they're going to Labour.
and there are various other issues they have. So they said they'll come between 10:30 and 11:00. From Alan, I gather some of them are here already. Just one. What did he say, Adrian? Okay, he'll come in. So we can't continue to discuss this endlessly. We have also the other resolution. That's more urgent to pass. So if there's consensus, we can resolve the matter now. It's just we can't hold up the trade and industry members once they begin to roll in. Can I put a proposal that we don't, unless we have any strong arguments against, that we accept this report, that we, I'm not sure how we couch it, whether you're saying, is it correct to summarize it like this, that you're saying that your understanding is tentatively that it's unlawful, right? But you think that the AG must make the final decision on this. Is that what you're saying? And secondly, that the matter must be taken further by the Appropriations Committee. So it would be fair to say that your initial tentative view is that it's probably, can we say probably or isn't, can you word it for us, right, verbally now, so then I can just write it out and issue a statement. From what I understand you're saying, that your tentative view is that it's probably unlawful, and you refer it to the AG to decide finally, to make the final decision, and that the Appropriations Committee to take the matter further, and then I will add the committee chairperson mandated to speak to the chair of the Appropriations Committee to process this further, and you will give them input, the same input to that committee, and they must take it forward. Right. Is that a reasonable summary or not?
Chair, it's reasonable. I wouldn't use the word unlawful because it's not. It's just that the use of Section 16, I would say, is irregular.
Because I saw on Business Day today it says unlawful. Carol phoned me and I said to Carol, I can't say anything. I have no mandate. I don't know why you're writing the story before, and then she explained to me. I can't stop her writing it, so I need to correct that. So can you draft it and bring us a draft after lunch? Or even now. Frankly, can you do it now? Because you know why? Because I'll get this flood of calls, you know, now. So let's just do the statement. Get it out. Because I haven't got the energy or time to respond to everybody. It's Justice's problem now. Give it to Justice. So draft something. I'll read it out to the committee. We'll have to take 5 minutes off the trade and industry. Then on the resolution you have, I sent it this morning.
You said earlier that I could bring up the question of a response from National Treasury when we discuss the issue. So I'd like to suggest that we ask National Treasury to give us a response to this, seeing as it was our request for the opinion, and thereafter it can go to appropriation.
Do we agree to that? I think the matter should be referred to appropriations. Now, we've done this thing. It doesn't belong to us. But when they respond to appropriations, they must send us a copy of the letter. It's not the other way around, that they must respond to us. That same legal opinion is going to that committee. Mr. Jenkins, you're taking exactly the same legal opinion. I'm sending a copy now this afternoon. Can you remind me? To Pinky Pausa, okay? So then you will go to that committee and give them. Now, what if they decide something different? So nothing stops you guys from going to that committee because you don't have enough to do. Go there, please. And secondly, we will word the thing. Can you word it yourself so you feel more comfortable? Because you might think some conspiracy happens at lunchtime. Can you word it, Mr. Lees, along the lines I've just said? So you insert the thing in there. Do you want to word it? The decision we're taking. Fine. Let them do it because then we can't preempt them and take their decision. I understand what you're saying. So what we will ask for in the report is the matter is now referred to the Appropriations Committee, and we request the Appropriations Committee to refer the replies from the Minister to us as well. Right? And then your DA members there can do their job, or you can take over doing their job. That's your decision. Right.
On 26... Frank says it must also be referred to the Auditor General. Who must do that?
The minister must refer it to the Auditor General. In terms of the Act itself, in terms of Section 6. Yeah.
Okay, the resolution is the first paragraph is straightforward, right? We're following the briefing yesterday with everybody. The committee met today, that means today, obviously, and decided as follows. That this briefing will be followed by the next briefing in November, okay? the understanding would be that the unions won't be here. It would be, unless there are people who insist on being here, were not here yesterday. We note that Sifiso Buthelezi, the minister, was deputy minister out of the country. It's after that briefing that we will take the final decisions. However, for now, there's agreement of all parties in the committee on the following. One, there should be appropriate representation of the trade unions, members of the GEPF on the PIC board, right? Agreed? That's straightforward, right? Two, consideration needs to be given to amending the Public Investment Corporation Act to provide for this. Okay? Three, the PEC should consider investing in projects that promote inclusive economic growth, job creation, infrastructure development, the reduction of social inequalities, and the interests of mainly the poor and lower income strata, projects that serve the developmental needs of the country. The trade unions are correct that this should not include investing in ailing SOEs that are badly governed, mismanage their resources, serve the narrow interests of an elite, do not advance the country's developmental needs, and will not provide an adequate return on investment for the members of the GEPF. Now, I know Mr. Lees will want to specifically mention one particular SOE and one particular chairperson and call again for her to resign. Okay, D. The PIC should seriously consider the trade union's proposals on an appropriate housing loan scheme for public sector employees who do not qualify for a loan from the commercial bank. DE, union should not withdraw from the GEPF, but instead engage with it, the PIC and the Minister and Deputy Minister to raise their concerns and proposals. Sorry, yes, Mr. Lee.
Chairman, I'd like to just qualify that slightly. I don't want to make it an issue of dispute, but the union should not withdraw from the EPF. Without considering the consequences thereof and should instead engage.
You see, you're right, but to say it like patronizing them as if they're making decisions without considering the consequences.
Mr. Chairman, indeed, you're right, but
in
the same sense, we also being patronizing by saying they must not withdraw.
Right, John, we're not going to be long, John.
No,
5 minutes.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I came here to request something, that's all, from you. And that is to allow you to get on with your work. We also do have certain things. If we could be back in half an hour.
Yeah, that will suit us too. Thanks, my friend. Pity, because now people will speak more than they were meant to, Joan, but fine. Okay, fine, Derek.
My understanding might be wrong, but I think he is not accurate. I got the impression that they were not talking about withdrawing from the GEPF. They were withdrawing the PIC's role in investing their funds, in discontinuing with that. Some are saying, most of them are saying, except Fedusa, that they're even going as far as to say that they want that to be a defined role of the PIC, rather than a defined role for the PIC to invest their money. Now it's a choice matter. And Fedusa is saying they are considering taking a stand, or they would prefer at the PIC, given what's happening, not to do it. So it's about the PIC, not about the GEPF.
Okay. Can I seek some clarity? You're probably right, but what I thought I saw in the media was George mentioned Fedusa wants to withdraw from the GEPF. That's not correct, eh? All right, okay, then I had it wrong. Okay, so what should we read now? Can somebody help me? A union should not withdraw from the PIC. Oh, no, how? You can't say withdraw. What's the wording then? Can you give me the wording between Mr. Lees and Derek? Union should not withdraw from?
Well, the union should be encouraged to engage with the PIC, should not.
All right.
Report, it should be noted that
One more. Come in, my friend. We're about to finish here.
Yeah, okay.
All right, what's the wording? Let's not have an endless discussion. I want wording at this stage, please, to be fair. What wording?
Mr. Chairman, what about unions should engage with the PIC about their mandates rather than... and the minister and deputy and to raise their concerns. So in other words, unions should engage with the PIC and the minister and deputy minister of finance to raise their proposals. So just...
although that's like a banal thing to say.
It is. Mr.
You Chairman. See, the point I want to make is in my notes, when I summarized, by the way, nobody corrected me, so people were falling asleep. Well, I said, you know, we must not withdraw from the GEPF. Nobody corrected, not even Fedusa's George and so on. So I can assure you that's what I said, but I was talking nonsense. Now, the question really is, you can't just say that we don't want them to do what Derek is saying. So, Derek, can you give me the wording?
Yeah, I think we should then say unions should not withdraw their investments with the PIC and then continue.
But they're not investing. It's the GEPF that's investing on the... How's it done?
Okay.
Technically?
They should not withdraw...
should continue working.
Should continue working.
Yeah, but that's not really... You see, what we said yesterday... I understand what your colleagues were saying. What we, however, said yesterday... Momo, can you help, maybe? Have you got a copy of the resolution? How should we word that? Because you're a technocrat as well, right? The trade unions are...
But,
sorry?
You're right, it's not their investment.
Yeah, so what should we say?
But it's their funds.
Right, so what do we say?
Should not withdraw their funds from the PIC.
Should not withdraw their funds. Okay, I don't think that's correct either, but hey, I want to move on.
The pension fund sits, the bulk of it sits with the PIC.
But I thought it goes via the GEPF.
Right.
Doesn't it go via the GEPF?
No.
All right, so the union should not, what did you say? Not?
Why didn't we just drop this?
Let's do it now and get it done, because it isn't done. No, no, because we took a decision that we might persuade the unions not to run away.
Yes, that's persuade rather than, that's the only problem I have, is that persuade rather than instruct.
Yeah, so the union should consider engaging further. No, consider means we ask them to think about it, not instructing them.
Yeah.
Should consider engaging effectively with. I think this is not acceptable, but hey, I want to move on. I've got a life. I'm not going to sit here and draft for the rest of my life. I'm 61 now. The union should engage effectively with the PIC and the minister and deputy to raise their concerns. Right. Basically, you recall my even saying, nobody corrects me. What are you afraid of? Right? I said, union workers don't run away. They engage and they take to the streets. Nobody says to me, no, they're not running away. Fedusa keeps threatening to withdraw from I don't know what thing. I misunderstood them, but fine, nobody corrected me. Momo, I got more power than I imagined in this committee. When I talk nonsense, everybody's so frozen. I don't appoint ministers and deputy ministers, by the way. So I don't know what they're afraid of. Fine. So now it'll read, colleagues, the PIC should seriously consider, no, the union should consider engaging effectively with, it sounds so banal, we don't know what it means, but hey, who cares now, with the PIC and the minister and deputy minister of finance to raise their concerns and proposals. Okay, F. While recognizing the onerous responsibilities on, not off, it can be off, right, of the minister to finalize the medium-term budget policy statement and the very challenging economic and political climate and other pressing demands on him, the committee recommends that he meets with the public sector unions to address their concerns and propose as soon as possible after presenting the MTBPS to Parliament. Yes, Mr. Lees.
Small addition.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, could we add sector unions and pension or something about pensioners? Because I think
the relevant public sector unions means the relevant to the pension fund.
No, and pensioner organizations.
Oh, there are pensioner organizations that are not in the union.
Yes, and they
those are the gentlemen that were there looking very much like your constituency, but very like absorbed.
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, but anyway, doesn't matter. The question is, I went through what I said. The question is, I provoked discussion unnecessarily by my asides and snide remarks. So I'm chastising myself. Can you note the chairperson criticized himself for being unduly provocative
what
and holding up the meeting?
Mr.
Sorry, right. Now then, Mr. Lee.
Sector
just explain to me, you're right. So then, have they got a structure?
Yes.
And have they written to the minister?
I don't know what they do.
All right, so, and pensioner organizations. I think that's fair. Never mind they're not in the unions. That's their money. Okay. Why didn't we ask them to speak if they're a structure? They have a right to speak.
Yeah, they were there yesterday.
Yeah, but I don't know. We asked Alan and Teboho to consult with the GEPF on all the people that whose monies are affected, but then we couldn't. Well, let's look into that. The question I want to add is, are members agreeable to that? It seems reasonable to me, colleagues, to add pressing demand to meet with this public and pensioner organizer and relevant pensioner organizer.
Yes, that's fine. You can't mention meet with every pensioner.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, while we're at it, can we just do the same in G then?
Yeah, I was about to say then presumably the one above has to also.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is that we didn't meet these pensioner organizations. We can put in, where we'll put it, unions and pensioner organizations. And the relevant pensioner organizations. And relevant pensioner. Why are you so quiet, Zakela? Too much sleep. Yeah, that's a good one, Mr. Mania. Yeah, so Zakela, you'll intervene as need be, right? And Antonia. So here it is: the unions and relevant senior, relevant pensioner organizations. Okay, organization. So it's done. I'll email it to all of you right now. Right, there it is. Then the next one is G. From what the committee can tell, the PIC has performed well. I think we should be very careful. That's why we're using that word,
for
what the committee can tell, including through securing above inflation returns on investment, receiving unqualified audit opinions over many years, including the AG Award for Clean Audit in 2017, contributing to socioeconomic transformation, including through de-racialization, even if it should do more for transformation, and receiving numerous rewards for its performance. Right. It is not clear to the committee why the minister wants a forensic investigation of the PIC's investment decisions, and we believe he needs to consult the trade unions on this. If he insists that he wants such an investigation, he will need to show that it's in the interest of the members of the GEPF, is it correct to say members of the GEPF, and the public, and provide the terms of reference of the investigation to the committee. Yes, Mr. Mania.
Chair, I may have been mistaken, but my recollection is that the agreement was that, in fact, we would ask the minister to provide this committee with an explanation as to why he felt the forensic investigations were in the public interest and the interests of pensioners.
We can make it clearer. Look, the second sentence is the one I think you want clarity on. See, we don't know where he's going to insist on this, but what I understand, he's written to them, they meant to reply, he has asked them. Zakele found to me the actual wording of the statement, right, where he says, I want you to reply. I would like you to investigate any allegations of irregularities, and can you reply to me by a certain date to tell me your response? It's after that that he will decide, is how I understand it. Zakele, is that clear? Right. Yes, Mr. Mania.
My reading is quite different. In fact, what the minister asks is for a much broader request. He requests, in fact, that there be a forensic audit of all contracts entered into by the PIC over the last 2 years. That's why I think what the committee should ask for is the minister to explain why he thinks...
Okay, that's neither here nor there.
In fact... it's unclear whether he is requesting the PIC board to agree to those forensic investigations or, in fact, prescribing to them.
Yes, I understand that.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to
court. You see, the thing is, we're in agreement that he must reply to the committee. That is what intended here, whatever the scope of the investigation he wants. So... I think we should focus on that if he insists that he wants, because we don't know for sure and we don't know how it will pan out, but then if he insists that he wants, he will need to show that it's in the interest. I took it to mean that he must, he's consulted the unions and he must show it to us, show it in the interest of the members of the GEPF and the public. So in other words, he has to release these things in the public domain and provide the terms of reference of the investigation to the rationale and the terms. You see, you can put in the rationale. Except that by terms of reference, it will say why it is. Not just it gives a scope, but why it is. But we can add the words the rationale for. Okay, you can provide the rationale. Is that okay, colleagues? Rationale for, I thought it's covered, but okay.
rationale for and the terms of the investigation, right? Okay, H, the board of the PIC needs to carry out a thorough inquiry into who was behind the allegations against its CEO and report back to Parliament. This is something I added last night because I thought we have to have a deadline and a report back requirement within 3 months. Yes, Mr. Mania.
Again, Chair, I mean, because of governance issues, we obviously can't prescribe, but I don't think we do prescribe. So I'm quite comfortable with the text, except I think that the deadline is overly generous.
Sorry?
I think the deadline is overly generous. I think that what we didn't see yesterday was any sense of urgency from the PIC board. I think that we should possibly say within 30 days, and perhaps that will create a sense of urgency in the PIC board.
What do members feel? If nobody's speaking, can I make a suggestion? I think 3 months is reasonable because they're looking into hacking and so on. And from what I understand, these are quite sophisticated measures, and you've got to get countervailing things. You can make it 2 months, but what's now? This is what I meant effectively was before the end of the year. So what are we? What's the date today? Around 18th of November. We can make it 2 months, 18th of December. 2 months. Okay, are we agreeing on that? And we know it's going to be here on the 18th. Mr. Mania and Mr. Lees can have a DA caucus and issue a press release. In terms of, they probably prepared a press release already this morning. In terms of the PIC Memorandum of Incorporation, it's not required that the board chairperson be the DM of finance. The committee notes that all the trade unions are opposed to this. They acknowledge, however, that the minister and deputy minister have to have a relationship with the PIC for a variety of reasons, including the fact that the pension of public sector workers is in the form of a defined pension benefit fund, which means effectively if the PIC crumbles or the fiscus. I want to raise something, colleagues. It's very easy for us as politicians to decide what must happen with the workers' money. Our own salaries, our own pensions are not affected. I'd love to put a thing in here. The committee would like to note the anomaly. Okay, I want to tell you the world that I...
Watch you. I don't know why she's staring into my computer, but it's all relevant. Eric, that's the real world we live in. You can get irritated, but fine. That's the real world. You'll have to live with it, Derek, until I'm here. I'm going to be long here. You know how things are. But for now, you're stuck with me, my friend. Right. So can we agree that we should note...
And you're stuck with me.
Yeah, fine. But I'm not going to change my character, my personality for anybody. Now, here it is, members. It's very clear. Yeah. Yeah, good. Fine. No. Good, good. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. No. In fact, we are within time. It's 11 o'clock. We've got plenty of time. But the truth is, we need to address this issue. And I'm not foregoing that. It is not correct that we choose to use workers' funds while our own pension is not affected. Bearing in mind what Mr. Lee says, we have to deal with that. Now then, what is the issue on point four? Shall we move on? Because we've taken no decision on that matter. I think one should be very careful, and the ANC study group needs to discuss it, so we haven't taken a decision. Five. Now, here, I did tweak it. When I was working on this last night, to be realistic, right? If you reject it, that's fine, because it's not what we agreed to yesterday. It's a different formulation. It says the committee needs to prepare notes for legislative and giving blah, blah, blah to the relevant decisions it takes. These should be forwarded to the Minister of Finance with the request that he introduce a bill to Parliament within a reasonable time frame. We have done that before, by the way. At the same time, working with Parliament's Legal Services Unit, a draft committee bill should also be considered. Yes, sir.
Chair, I would propose that we delete the section dealing with the possible legislative amendments to be forwarded to the Minister and simply capture the essence of what we agreed to, that the committee should sort of consider a committee bill. And I say that on the grounds of two things. First, the first part we did not agree to. The second part is, but the second part is more material, because it would seem to me that if the executive do begin to work on a bill, a committee bill might fail on the grounds of during the motion of desirability phase, on the basis that the executive are preparing a similar bill. So that's the second argument. The third argument is if we leave it to the executive, this bill will pop out of, in a best case scenario, would probably be introduced next year. And I have an appetite to get this bill done before Parliament rises.
I agree with
David. The difficulty of putting a proposal, even appropriateness, of giving recommendations to a minister on a bill which comes to us, it's not the right way of doing things. Then we want to amend it when it appears in front of us. And then he says, but, this is the bill. I've done what you asked me to do. We don't ask ministers to prepare bills. We deal with bills that they put in front of us, and we can change them fundamentally if we wish. So let's separate the two issues. We think that there are changes necessary. It could be a discussion with the minister to say, look, this is our feeling, and you might get a sense from him that, yes, we've already started, or from Momo, that we are in the process of drafting amendments. But I don't think we should recommend amendments to the executive. That would be, that would blur the lines. But for us to exercise that constitutional power that we have, to have a committee dealing with a private member's bill, and for the committee then I think, and Frank might have to advise us, Eunice, that whether we have the kind of authority or power as a committee to draft a bill that wasn't tabled in front of us, or whether it has to be the form of a member's bill, a private member's bill. So the committee then, but I think what came out of the meeting yesterday is that the committee would draft amendments to this bill, appropriate amendments to this bill, not to ask the minister to consider amendments to the bill.
Right. Do you want to comment on that?
Anybody else? Can I explain why I did this thing? Firstly, it's not true that parliamentary committees haven't proposed bills to the executive. We've done it, right? Twice. Where we said this is what we want. and municipal systems bill was amended before the elections. Sydney and I dealt with that. In fact, to be quite frank, off the extremely difficult to get Parliament to do it at that stage. I don't know now. They were not able to do it. So finally we persuaded the minister, but he also wanted some changes, firstly. Secondly, if you amending the PIC Act, you must realize the formidable amount of work it's going to involve, because we have to understand the whole Act. You can't just go there and decide, okay, here's these five things. So I would like to suggest we soften this thing, that we change it around, saying we are working on a bill. And we say something to this effect. I'll word it now with you, because I think we should be realistic about what we can do. Firstly, we should not allow the situation Mr. Mania is talking about, where the executive says, we're doing a bill anyway. No, we shouldn't do that. So we should switch it around, say we're working on a bill. That we will, and I think we should be careful about people's personal agendas. That they, I want the bill before the end of November this year and so on. There's no such thing. The member can do that, that he's right as a personal private. But the committee must decide. It's a, the committee is going to have a bill. Even a private member can come with a bill, but we will decide as a committee. The ANC must meet soon and decide. We're going to get our own bill. The ANC and the committee will take a bill. So I have spoken to Semenya, but you know, it's his right. You must exercise your rights. But clearly, as I understand it, and I think we should meet in, with Zuki, I think we should put this, I think there's a collective decision on this. But I think one should be very careful, with due respect to people's experience on these issues, about what is doable and what is not. So firstly, it is not true that you cannot. We've done it in my right. 22. You see, it's a formidable amount of work. For Parliament's Legal Services Unit and us. In other words, we have to oversee it, to look at the bill, because once you amend this clause and so on. So we've struck deals with the executive before. And on both occasions, I must tell you, the executive delivered on the deadline. That's why we said we're not taking a decision here. If you see the wording here, it's saying the final ones is the committee will review the decisions if there's a need to and take further decisions after November. We need a bit of time. We need some work done by Frank. We can mandate him. David Mania has prepared some draft. If he wants to insert that into the process of a parallel process, that's his right. But I have recommended to him he brings that draft in. There's a draft that the DA has worked on or completed. I don't know where it is. That can be brought in. There are changes we will want to make. We ask Frank and them to look into the possibility of getting a bill done. He has to come and brief us on the PIC Act, because we can't make those changes. And the question that arises is practical, logistical, and other resources. It's about managing the process. There is a way of dealing with these things. We are saying, we will, let's change that around, colleagues. Let's be practical, right? Let's put, not at the same time, say we will work with the league on a draft bill, which we would like to get done before the end of this year, calendar year, because we need to hear in the second briefing, say the middle of November, what everybody has to say, before we plunge into drafting a complete bill, and look, mandate them to start working on it, well, from Friday or so, if I get all the stuff from everybody, say Monday onwards, draft something, right? So let's change it around to say, we are working on this bill. Let's not have hard and fast like before the end of November when Parliament rises. Then we say, consideration should also be given through engagement with the executive on terms set by the committee on whether they would be interested in bringing the bill, but within firm deadlines. So there's no such thing as them taking 1 year and so on. To be fair, but maybe the circumstances are different then. Because the 2000 December elections were coming up, right? We were also approached once by the executive, the second time. They said to us, it's faster if you bring a bill. Because, you know, it'll have to go through the cabinet process and so on. So, you know, in an ANC structure, we met. And then they gave us a draft and we said, no, we didn't like it, we redid it. And we told them, we will only do it if it's on these terms. And that's what happened. So, I'm saying, don't be hard and fast, it's not a final decision. Let's make it softer. Let's say we will do the bill along the lines you were saying. But say something softer like, consideration will also be given if the executive cooperates within the timelines determined by the committee and so on. So we leave the options open. There's another advantage about that. They will do some work. Do you want me to talk about... He wants to, we can't force him. Give us your bill by Monday. I would like to look at it, and the committee, we looked at it. Let us also, as an ANC study group, come up with proposals, because I think this one about managing who chairs and so on is a lot of thinking to go into. And then let's work towards the mid-November meeting, after which we take a final decision. So would you agree on a compromise? Remember, it's not a decision. It's, when we say, consideration needs to be given. I'll word it now, right in front of you. What do you feel, Mr. Mayor? Shall we do it like that, so we turn it around? Let's do it now together, so there's no issues. Where's trade and industry? Are they here yet? Yeah, because we can start now. So let's say the committee needs to prepare notes for legislative amendments to give effect. Can we say the committee needs to immediately prepare notes? So that means all of us have to work on this thing. Immediately prepare notes, right? For legislature to give effect to the relevant decisions it takes, right? We can't say immediately and it takes, because some decisions will be taken in December. Can we say prepare notes? Because it doesn't, logically the sentence doesn't make sense, right? But we, these should be forwarded. Let's move this. Right, prepare. This should be done. This should be done. Through working with the Parliament's Legal Services Unit, right? For a draft bill. Before the end of the year. Is that agreeable? But hopefully before the end of November. But I mean, I don't know whether it's possible. Why do we want to take a decision we will not be able to fulfill? But the aim would be something has to come. Even if it's after 29th of November, right? Is that agreeable? Okay. So it will now read, this should be done. Through working with the Parliament's Legal Services Unit to prepare them. And then we'll say something like this. If appropriate, consideration needs to be given to engaging with the executive to cooperate with the committee on this bill. That's all. What that means is something we can, depending on the balance of forces and what comes from, yeah. Jacob. Is that agreed?
Yeah.
Is that agreed, Mr. Mania? Yeah. Fine. Now, where's your bill? Is it ready?
Chair, yes. I mean, it's a private member's bill. It is ready, and the first part of the process, which is publishing the memorandum, is with rests with the Speaker's office. I'm happy to discuss any options with you. For me, one of the critical considerations is timing. I would like to try to get things done as soon as possible, but I'm happy to discuss any options with you.
We all want to do it as soon as possible, but we have to be practicable. What we can talk outside this meeting about is bringing your bill here and we're using it as a base to work around and becomes a committee bill. So it's not a party political bill. That makes it easier to process as well. Yeah, so again, Frank, you and I have a discussion sometime between now and next Tuesday. Agreed? So we're done. Okay. Can we have a five-minute break while the trade and industry members come in? They'll be looking at the financial sector transformation. Okay. I'm waiting for Joan to come in. Okay. Five-minute break. You can get tea and so on. Colleague, can you just hear? Derek. can you just speak into the record? No, it's fine. Because
I think, Chair, I didn't want to come in on your hearings and whatever, but GPF and the Transnet Fund are funds that have their own pension acts. They don't fall under the Pensions Fund Act. Therefore, they are not regulated by the FSB. Okay. That's the first point to make. Second point to make is because it's got its own act, what you have is that they still have an investment committee that decides the mandate. And whilst I think the PIC law compels them to invest through the PIC, it must be still in terms of their mandate. So, and on that, there is a 50-50% representation where effectively the unions or the members have representation. Okay. So the PIC is still like an asset manager. It should do what the principal says it should do. And that mandate can be as detailed as you like. So sometimes I do wonder, as long as the board of trustees are kind of in charge of the fund at the GPF, the PIC is your second check that when you are talking of both, in a sense it's a second check, but this should not take away from the responsibilities of the board, even though it's a defined benefit fund, the board of the GPF. So I think it's to take into account. You would have seen that, and I've been concerned, there were stories about the Transnet Pension Fund as well. And, it, you know, even if there are... Yes. Yes. And I think that some of the behavior there is frankly disgraceful. You don't treat your ex-pensioners like that. And, of course, why you have pension bodies come in chair is that when you're not working, you're not a member of a union. So that's why you don't just want union representation. You want your existing members, their interests, or those who have retired, their interests never to be compromised as well. And you've seen that with the Transnet Pension Fund. So I do think that these are important issues, and about the issue of should they not come under the Pensions Fund Act, even if you have to make some exception, some exemptions in terms of certain provision and so on. But I think it's just something that we've said in the past as part of the retirement reform, that you want to harmonize across all pension funds and you want to have similar sort of approaches towards all pension funds. So just something to bear in mind, Chair.
I know a bit about this because I chaired public enterprise. It was quite complex. So you remember to effect that amendment. That issue was raised, by the way, either yesterday or in telephonic exchanges with me by some of the stakeholders. Waiting for the Trade and Industry Committee. Can you please check where they are? because we need to send it to the minister today. The committee needs to prepare notes for legislative amendments to give effect to the relevant decisions it takes. This should be done through working with Parliament's Legal Services Unit, and a draft bill should be prepared before the end of this year. Consideration should be given to engaging with National Treasury on the processing of the legislative amendments. Right? Done. Okay. Right. So can we move in second? Where's peace? We need to vote. Thank you. Now, we're just waiting for 5 minutes. They're on their way.
Yeah.
In the meanwhile, Mr. Mania, you can leave. What a relief. Thank you. The meeting will finish early.
Are you going to come back? Do you want this thick document, or do you have it? Because I was going to hand it up.
Thank you. I'll come back in 2 minutes when we get started.
Business day, because he was also hopping.
No, I'm from PMG.
Oh, from PMG.
Yeah, PMG, yeah.
Ew.
That's fine.
Oh, thank you very much. Stop it. No.
I have it, so I have to check if I'm going to eat it.
I think you're going to trick me now and you say you have everything and you don't.
I'll show you, I'll show you.
And then I'm going to be in
trouble. Not at all. Don't worry.
Yeah, not really, I'm shy.
No, one.
Well, no, it's strict instructions here.
The old is coming as well. I'm just trying to check it.
I'm not going to get mixed.
So I'm just trying to check it each order. September. Yeah, go for a little check with the idea.
So
you actually have a little bit to say it's not gone because I can cook anything.
Yeah.
Originally,
I'm going to go to the next one.